Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell. Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season 4. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. As usual, I want to say hello to all of you all who check us out, check this this series out throughout the week. There's new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Always appreciate you listening to the subscribers out there. If you're not already, maybe you'll get inspired. Maybe you'll hit the subscribe button. Whether you've heard the series before and just haven't done it, or this is your first time, go ahead and make the jump. You can find us anywhere you get your podcast from. That includes the big ones, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, Podchaser, Acast, Stitcher. Anywhere you get yours, just type in Kyle Meredith with. And I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Perfume Genius, going to be talking with Mike about this new record called Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. It's a gorgeous, lush record with a lot going on, a lot of different styles within. And we're going to talk about the players that have helped make that possible. Jim Keltner, Pino Palladino, Matt Chamberlain, all legendary players. He teams back up with Blake Mills to help produce this again. So I want to hear about those relationships. And then we'll back up a bit. There was a performance piece that he was a part of, that Mike was a part of, called The Sun Still Burns Here. It was based on movement and dance. And first, I want to hear exactly what it was. And two, how it informed the record. And then we'll get into some of the themes, too, like concepts of masculinity, not just in the music, but even in the artwork. Some very beautiful beautiful images that he's put out so far. And the songs, of course the songs. Describe, the very first single. You'll hear this again in the interview, but I liken it to My Bloody Valentine and Jeff Buckley together. It's just this really heavy thing that sounds great on his voice. And the second single too, On the Floor, which has got more of an old school rock and roll vibe. I mean, rock and roll, like 1950s, like Motown stuff. So let's jump into this, talking about this record, Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. It's Kyle Meredith with Perfume Genius.
Hi.
My compliments first. Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. What an outstanding record that you've done once again. It's been such a joy, I guess is the right word, to listen to this. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll take it.
I don't want to deflect from you too much, but I did want to ask about the crew that you were working with on this, because am I reading this right? Jim Keltner, Pino Palladino, and Matt Chamberlain?
Yep, that's part of the crew. That's a pretty intense list for sure.
Yeah.
Surreal to be able to work with those guys.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, if I were to put together a dream team of musicians, I mean, these three would definitely be a part of that. Did you seek them out? And what was the experience like? Like, I think of think of Jim as one of the greatest session drummers of all time. And Matt always brings this really amazing jazzy feel to it. And of course, Pino might be the greatest, bass player at what he does. Like, was that on your mind? Did you need them specifically?
I mean, I'm certainly happy to specifically have them. But I mean, a dream team is a dream team for a reason. Like, it felt like out of my reach. But Blake Mills has worked with them before. And, I really definitely credit him with having those connections and having those guys. Pino played on my last record, and so did Matt. And so I had some working relationships with them before. I mean, this record, we wanted it to be live, and we wanted to assemble a band and play as much as we could together and capture the performance in the room instead of kind of layering things after the fact and kind of piecemealing it together. We wanted to have the bulk of all the songs as complete as we could have them with just a recorded moment. And so, I mean, having those guys be the ingredients that cook it all up is intense and made it a lot easier to have that happen pretty instantaneously. So.
Well, you have such interesting song structures. I mean, it doesn't feel like you're afraid of a left turn. Those kind of movements are common in a lot of your songs. And when you're working with these type of professionals, or just anyone, I should really throw that to anyone. It doesn't seem like with a lot of artists, songs are just jamming, and eventually they kind of find their way. I don't get that sense with you. These sort of seem like more planned out. And you're saying, that you wanted them pretty far to a certain degree anyway. But I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, when you're talking to other musicians, how much conversation has to go in where you have to point out your exact vision for what a song does?
I make pretty fully fleshed out demos for all my songs at home before I take them to the studio. And I'm not super sacred about keeping anything beyond the map of it, I'm okay with it sounding completely different than the demo as long as the spirit is intact. And so we spend some time, listening to the demo and talking about it a little bit. But if you're working with people of that caliber, they can follow you pretty easily, even if you're jumping off a cliff after being on it for just a split second or something. And I also don't have anything to compare to. Like, my songs, I've always kind of written that way, and I've been comfortable just shifting and changing whenever it instinctually feels right. I've listened to music for a long time, and I know that that's happened before, but it's not super common to just, I think maybe some other people would split some of my songs into three parts or extend sections and have them be their own thing. But most of the time it feels whole to keep it all there.
Do you feel those changes coming when you write a song? Is it obvious that everything's about to go in a very different direction?
I mean, it's almost like weird little mini chapters. Sometimes it'll just come to an end but it won't feel done. It'll feel like there's a next chapter, but it's the same story. And sometimes I can feel it blossoming or distilling as I'm writing it. But honestly, I don't really know why.
Yeah,
it's like almost some of it's math and some of it's deliberate. And some of it feels more just like a kind of channeling spiritual thing. When I get just kind of open to it and I just don't try to control it too much and let it go wherever it wants.
Well, it's one of my favorite things about what you do. And with this record, I think I know a part of it kind of starts. I mean, a lot of records, we talk about what happens before. And one of the things that kind of leads into this is something called The Sun Still Burns Here. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what exactly that is and how it influenced what happened with this album.
Well, it was essentially like a dance and music collaboration between me and a choreographer named Kate Wallach and her company, the YC. And I mean, from the very beginning conversations that we had, we wanted those things to be together, not next to each other. I didn't want us, like me and the band, to be playing music and the dancers be on the other side of the stage. I wanted to sing, and Al, my partner who was played with me this whole time, I wanted him to dance too. And I wanted the dancers to sing if they could sing. I don't know. We wanted this braid of everything together. And so I wrote the music like that, and we formed the dance that way, and she wrote the dance, and with all that in mind, that we're kind of building this new world all together. But I don't know, it changed a lot for me. It shifted a lot about how I think art is made, like what I'm capable of and what my body can do, and it really messed me up in a good way.
It reminds me, like, David Byrne on his most recent set. I mean, he got a lot of accolades for his stage presence, but he's talked a lot about incorporating movement even in the way he writes the song, in the words, you know, in the actual notes, that it's not just a mm-hmm. physical thing. It sort of makes its way into that. Is that similar for you as well?
I think so. I mean, I definitely informed this album a lot, because usually my process of writing is super, super isolated and solitary in the beginning. You know, it eventually involved a lot of people, but the core ideas and the core kind of dreams are I build them by myself. But with the dance and even the music, this time was built in a room with other people from the very beginning. All the seeds that we are planting were built together, and they were built physically and like in a room, and it was very like tangible. Like I was holding people and being held, and I still felt all that kind of wildness and kind of magic of writing, which used to be something that I only really felt and only kind of had that transcendence when I was alone. And now I'm having it with people and connected to the world and to like my body. And that changed a lot for me in my daily life and what I wanted. And even like what a lot of these songs are about is kind of trying to channel that and kind of bring all these abstract ideas and feelings and things that are confusing and funnel them and channel them into something physical and moving and real.
What's an interesting juxtaposition, maybe? I don't know if that's the right word for this. We see the artwork and there is a very masculine thing going on. I think I've read you talking about, you know, sort of deconstructing masculinity. How does what you're talking about right there with movement, with being carried and caring, how does that fit with the concept of masculinity for you?
I mean, all of those things have always existed in equal measure at the same time for me. I mean, I know presenting, you know, in one direction more than the other is a choice, but it's not at the expense of the other one, in my opinion. I guess I just always just do what I want. And I just feel, it's confusing to me. So much of it is confusing because of how I'm told to be, you know, pick one or just sort it out, or I don't know. I just want to be covered in dirt, really, essentially. It's what it boils down to. I don't really know why, but that's what I'm doing.
It's beautiful
and
artwork.
I think part of it is this kind of earthly, like, kind of connected earthly thing. You know, I'm trying to just bring all this stuff that is always swimming around and buzzing around that I'm always trying to process and deal with and just, like, bring it to the ground and bring it to something I can roll around in.
I do love it. I mean, even just as artwork alone, even without the music, it's such beautiful art that is a part of this with both images I've seen so far. I want to hit on a couple of the songs, too. Describe that first single that we're hearing. It's, to me, it's like My Bloody Valentine meets a Jeff Buckley. I don't know if you've ever heard the Jeff Buckley song Yard of Blonde Girls. It sort of reminds me a little bit of that. Where did that sound come from? I mean, again, is that something you went for? Because that heavy fuzz, it suits you really, really well.
I thought the last record was going to be a lot more, I don't know, like overtly rock and roll-y or something. I thought it was going to be much more organic and bandy in it, but it went to kind of a wilder, more layered place. And, you know, I think we all knew that I wanted to have elements of that in this record, and the songs that I wrote suited it more. But that specific song I wrote as a kind of very plaintive, melancholy, slow ballad, almost like gentle and very sad. But when I played the demo, Blake heard that guitar coming out like that. And then keeping both of those ideas intact, like keeping the vocal very gentle and soft and still close to the ear, and the guitar heavy and sludgy. I don't know. I feel like it enhanced both things. Like it lifted up the kind of desperation of the vocal, and it made the guitar even more punishing.
I love it. It's a great introduction too. You mentioned the rock and roll. I mean, you do get that, of course, on the second single with On the Floor. I mean, that's got some 50s rock and roll. It's got some Motown happening there, mm-hmm. and it's quite the difference to describe too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it all comes from the same place, and it all came from the same people playing. So I don't know. I'm not super. To me, they don't feel maybe as different as people. I don't know. I'm happy to shift.
Yeah.
And just switch. So.
Nothing new for you on the shifting. Again, Mike, it's made for just a really outstanding record with Set My Heart on Fire immediately. I honestly do love it. Thank you for this music and thank you for the conversation today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you around. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
My thanks to Mike right there. The new Perfume Genius record is called Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. Thanks to Mike. Thanks to you for checking out this episode, too. Again, if you're not already a subscriber, I really do hope you take the moment to hit that subscribe button to keep up with us. There's new interviews that are released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover new artists and just know what's happening in the music world. You can find us all the big places like Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And after that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews as well. Again, that's WFPK.org. ConsequenceOfSound.net has your music and film news. You can also find me on just about any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. Come say hi and do the likes and follows over there as well. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.